In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
My sisters, I had a wonderful week. I was able to go up to St. Tikhon's Monastery and Seminary, this place where I studied and I spent one of the best portions of my life. I want to share something that happened there with you. But first, we'll speak a little bit about the Gospel reading today and also the saint that we celebrate. The Gospel reading, the Lord speaks to us about the first things, the things that are most necessary, most important, the basics, the fundamentals of life. And He speaks to us in a way that is sometimes difficult for us to hear. Sometimes what our Lord says is kind of countercultural, doesn't correspond to our normal worldly way of thinking. And this is actually one of those cases. We all know from childhood, we're told about the basic necessities of life. What do we need to have life? Any of the children want to answer that? Three things. What do they teach you in school that you need for life?
Food, water, and shelter.
Close. Food, clothing, and shelter. Food, clothing, and shelter. The basic necessities of life. It's interesting that the Lord today speaks to the crowds and to us about these things. But He says, actually, that we should not be seeking after these things. We should not make this the focus of our life. Instead, we should be seeking after God, His kingdom, and His righteousness. And that all of these other things, which we need, will be granted to us, will be given to us. Our Heavenly Father knows that we have need of them. And He will supply them for us like He does for the birds, for the lilies of the field, etc. Because we're of much more value than they. This is a lesson for us to seek first the kingdom. And then everything else will be granted to us. Now it is kind of countercultural. Because our focus, at least in our society, and probably generally true across the world, but especially in our American society, which is very materialistic, very secular. We spoke about this last week. God has little room in our lives. Maybe we give Him a portion on Sunday morning. Not every Sunday, or it'll be too religious. But sometimes we'll give God a portion of our life. But He certainly doesn't get the first portion. And more than that, He certainly doesn't get all of our life. That would be simply crazy. To give all of our life to God. But, of course, that is what we do in the Christian faith. The sacrament of initiation is baptism, which means immersion. We are immersed into the life of Christ. We give everything that we have. Mind, heart, will, body, soul, our entire personhood. We give everything to Christ. And we are immersed in His life, in His grace. This is what Christianity is all about. You know, sometimes people think that when you go into the baptismal font, you can hold up your hand out of the water with a list of things that you don't want to give over to Christ. It doesn't work that way, right? We go into that font with every facet of our being and our life, asking God to sanctify it. Today the church celebrates the Venerable Anthony of the Key of Caves, Lavra. He was considered the founder of monasticism in Russia. He was born near Kiev in Chernigov in 983. And for those who are students of Russian history or church history, you know that in 988, there was what was called the Baptism of Rus. This is when the Slavic peoples accepted Christ as their God. And they were baptized into His life, immersed into His kingdom. This Venerable Anthony, from childhood, was immersed in the Christian life, and he made his way to Mount Athos in Greece, and he became a monk there. And he gave himself over to prayer and fasting, obedience, works of mercy for the brethren, the entertaining of visitors and hospitality. And he developed very quickly in the Christian life. He came to a certain spiritual maturity, so much so that the igumen of the monastery, the head of the monastery, told him, to go back to Kiev and to establish monasticism there. And this he did. He went to Kiev and he found himself a cave. And he dwelt in the cave. And people came to him looking for counsel, for advice, for consolation and encouragement. They came looking for that immersion in the Christian life that we see so wonderfully exemplified in monasticism. And he shone forth like a great light and drew many to the faith and had a great following of monastics. First tens and hundreds and thousands. And this Venerable Anthony was a source of healing for those who are looking for God's grace and His mercy in His life. And this community that he developed, the Kiev Caves Lavra, is world-renowned. People make pilgrimage to it like they make pilgrimage to Mount Athos. They see that same life, that same fullness there, that radical commitment to Christ. Now, well, I mentioned this life because we commemorate St. Anthony today, but also because I want to tell you about my trip to St. Tikhon's. St. Tikhon's is the oldest continuously running monastery in America. It's up in the area of Wilkes-Barre, Scranton, and a small town or village called South Canaan. This was a monastery that was established by St. Tikhon of Moscow. He named it after his patron saint, St. Tikhon of Zadonsk. This is a place, as I mentioned, where there's a seminary, so it's a place of study, but it's also primarily a monastery, which is a place of prayer and this radical commitment to Christ. And because it's such, many people make pilgrimage there. There's an annual pilgrimage on Memorial Day, and throughout the year, people go to what's called the Holy Mountain, the American Holy Mountain. And they go there looking again for this renewal in their Christianity, this re-immersion in their Christian faith. This past week there was a camp there, some of our parishioners were there, and I went up to pick up two of our children who were there. Went up on Thursday, stayed over Thursday night, Friday night, took them home Saturday after the liturgy. And while I was there, I was filming with the abbot of the monastery, Father Sergius. Some of you know him, go to confession to him. Wonderful spiritual father and leader. We were filming short videos on the spiritual life so that he could share this light that we see so brightly shining in monasticism with the world. He spoke about different topics: liturgy, prayer, confession, forgiveness, healing. He spoke about vocation, the calling of not only people to become monks or nuns, not only to become priests or deacons through the seminary, but vocations for people to become men, women, and children shining forth in holiness in whatever life they find themselves in, living in the world, to find their vocation in Christ, this life of full immersion. And one of the things that he spoke about, and there were so many, and I can't wait to share these videos with you when they're finally ready, but he spoke about our focus in life. That our focus in life has to be God. We have to be looking toward God. The Lord in the Gospel today tells us that the lamp of the body is the eye. If your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light, but if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. What we focus on is what we bring into our being. And if we're focusing on God, we can bring His light into our being. If we're focusing on mammon, or the world, we bring the darkness of the world into our being. Our calling as Christians is to have that singular focus on God and to be filled with His light. Abbot Sergius spoke about how this can happen for all of us to whatever degree we want it. To whatever degree we want it. That means that could be 1% of our life, 10%, 20, 30, 50. It could be 100% of our life where we're looking to God and He's sharing His grace with us. We become a receptacle of His life to the degree that we want his life. What a great opportunity that is for us who are living out in the world, who aren't in the Ghia Paved Lava or on the Holy Mountain, or even at St. Tikhon's Monastery. We can still have God as our focus, 100%, and receive his life fully within us to become holy. What a great privilege we have. I want to tell you something that happened to me while I was there. Actually, I'll tell you two things. First thing is, when I was driving up, I forgot to make arrangements where I was going to stay at the monastery. And I know it says don't be concerned about these things, but I was concerned. So I called and I spoke with Abbot Sergius, and I asked if I could have a place to stay there. And he said, of course. So he told me he was going to put me up in the Metropolitan's room. And I thought I would try to be humble and kind of, you know, say something as kind of a joke. I said, you know, it's not good for the servant to be in the master's quarters. And he kind of chuckled, he laughed it off, and he put me there anyway. Now, just a normal bedroom like any of the other pilgrims to the monastery might have, actually. You think of Metropolitan's room in some glorious place, no, it's normal, it's average. But it was somehow special too, because this is the place where our bishop was staying. And our bishop is a monk at heart. He's somebody who's really immersed in the life of Christ. And that first night that I slept there, I barely slept. Went to sleep at about 10. And I woke up at 2, and I don't know why I woke up, but I couldn't sleep anymore that night. Maybe whoever was in that room normally is used to keeping vigil, and there was some anticipation I'd be doing the same thing. Well, it was an involuntary vigil. I was up all night. I couldn't sleep. From 2 a.m. until the service started at 6, I was awake. And then, of course, I was filming with Father Sergius during the day and things like that. And it came to be nighttime, and I was exhausted. I had nothing left in me, which was an experience, if you will, of monastic life, because they give themselves fully to Christ. And it's hard. And that night I slept exceptionally well. Not just probably because I was exhausted physically, but because spiritually I had worked, even if it wasn't my initial intention. I was forced to do that because of where I was. And I slept so well. Woke up and we had liturgy in the morning. And the liturgy was beautiful liturgy with the monastics, with the priests, with the families who attend that parish, if you will. There's a parish kind of community there too. And all of the children with their parents from the camp. It was a glorious liturgy. And it happened during the liturgy that as I was distributing Holy Communion, I had something terrible come upon me. And for those of you who get migraines, you know that they can be very debilitating sometimes. I get terrible migraines. And it begins with a blurred vision. Whatever I'm looking at, like if I'm reading a text, it becomes blurry. And that blurry spot will expand until my whole vision is lost. And I have to kind of sleep it off in a dark room until my body purges itself and things like that. It's a nightmare, a horrific situation. Last time I landed in the ER. Anyway, this blurry vision started while I was distributing Holy Communion. And I was very nervous about the necessities of life, because not only was I at the monastery on a Saturday and had to be back for the services on the weekend, but I had my children there. And I was their ride home. And I didn't know what to do. It was a very scary situation. For those of you who don't know, St. Tikhon's is maybe 5-6 hours away, depending on traffic. I needed to leave right after that liturgy to make it home. But I knew I just simply couldn't. Because from childhood, once that blurriness comes, it always ends the same way. It never goes away. I spoke to Abbot Sergius and I said, I'm sorry, but you know, I'm having this migraine. Do you have any medication, any medicine that you can give me? And can I have a place to sleep again? And he told me, no problem, absolutely. And he assured me that they care for the children while I couldn't. So he gave me 3 Advil. And for those of you who have migraines, you know that there's sometimes a special medication that you're given that will help. But 3 Advil don't normally cut it. But he gave me the 3 Advil, and I lie down, again in Metropolitan's quarters in his bed. And in 5 minutes, it was gone. The blurriness was gone, the migraine was dissipated, and I was able to go on with the daily necessities of life. Now, from a worldly perspective, you might say, well, was it extra strength Advil? What was the type of Advil? Yeah, it was extra strength. It was Advil with prayer. The prayer of people devoted wholly to God, Abbot Sergius and the monastics. And God provided that which was necessary in life. When we think about this kind of healing and the healings that have occurred throughout Christianity that originate oftentimes with monasteries, think, well, why does it happen there at monasteries? Why don't these kind of things happen in parish life or our day-to-day lives? And to be sure they do, but they happen with greater frequency at monasteries. It's simply a fact of the matter that, you know, statistic-wise, they happen more often at monasteries. And why? Because think about, what if we were able to heal migraines and illnesses? What if we had this special medicine that would kind of alleviate all of the sufferings of men? What would we do with that? Chances are, we would see not only the opportunity to help people, but we'd also see an opportunity to get rich. And I hate to say this, but our selfishness would capitalize on it. And this is the very reason why God can't give us these gifts, because we would misuse them. And we would become spiritually more sick than before, even though our bodies might be healed. But for those who are selfless, who have given up wealth and materialism, who have totally rejected the God of mammon, who are no longer his servant, but the servant of Christ, they can receive these gifts, and they can share these gifts, and the glory can be given to God. Monasteries are a great gift to us, brothers and sisters, because in them we see the perfection that we're called to. We see people focus on God and his kingdom, and his righteousness. And we see them receiving in full his grace and his power. And it reminds us of the opportunity that's there for us too. Because these things can happen in the world, in parishes, in our homes, in our lives. I want to close with a quote. This is from St. Porphyrius. This is about how salvation can happen wherever we are. He says, "It is a great art to succeed in having your soul sanctified. A person can become a saint anywhere. He can become a saint in Ammonia Square." Who knows Ammonia Square? Anyone from Greece? Okay, there's a footnote here. I didn't know it. Ammonia Square is the commercial center of Athens, also synonymous with vice and corruption. We have places like that in America too, probably, right? Mm-hmm. A person can become a saint anywhere. You become a saint in Ammonia Square if he wants. At your work, whatever it may be, you can become a saint through meekness, patience, and love. Make a new start every day with a new resolution, with enthusiasm and love, prayer and silence, not with anxiety for worldly things, so that you get a pain in your chest. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be granted to you. Glory to Jesus Christ. Amen.